you know, there's not one technique for every shot, but every shot requires a technique.
The information's not irrelevant, but for the person listening, watching, it's like, just because it makes sense doesn't mean it's correct for you. It could actually be a massive waste of time.
And so I think it's just having an understanding that, okay, when I watch this, this is, whole video is built up to make me believe that this is the right thing to do.
There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it, rip it.
I haven't had two people sitting across from me in a long time. Usually it's like one-on-one, so it's a little different for me. Feels like I'm being interviewed for like a job or something by you two.
You are?
Yeah, you never know. Are you ready?
I could be.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
Plot twist. We're actually coming at you.
What do we got? Actually, two of the more recent guests, you guys were both on individually. Andrew McCain, Will Leaf. I would consider you two kind of my pseudo. Will's my swing instructor. Andrew, equipment guy. Maybe helps with my mental game every now and again. Nothing to do with golf, just like actual mental health and wellness, which is good. We wanted to spend a little time and talk. It's been, I don't even know the last time I posted a podcast because I got married, kind of some big life stuff. Mm-hmm. I got married and that's about it, but took a lot of time and effort.
That's big.
It is kind of big, yeah. You're married. You're not married yet.
No.
Will's married, so 2 out of 3 are married. Mm-hmm. Where's your ring?
On my hand.
Oh, there it is. I don't know. It's kind of hiding. How long did it take you to get used to this?
Like a week.
That's it?
Yeah. Oh. I can't golf with it on, though.
I've been struggling. Like, I just forget it. You'll get there.
Like, what do you mean you forget it?
I just forget it.
You take it off and you forget it.
I take it off and then I forget it.
I did that in the beginning.
And then I freak out because I can't find it.
Yeah, I was like, doing a lesson one time with someone, like one of my boys, and I like the whole lesson, I'm like talking to him. I'm like, I don't know where my ring is.
You can't wear this golfing. I mean, this would... It would destroy your swing, like your grip.
I don't know how... I can't do it.
I think it has to be a thin one.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the like little rubber band ones. We can do a whole episode on that.
Like a thinner band.
Oh, yeah. Fair. Yeah, this is like a thick... Wouldn't be able to do it. Anyway, so I got married. It's been a while. I had Okposo on, and in the last probably call it month, we've been doing a lot of work behind the scenes, trying to figure out kind of what the next maybe wave of the podcast is. You guys are also doing your own stuff when it comes to teaching. Andrew, you've got the combine, which we'll talk about. But the preface of this episode is kind of talk about the content that's going to be coming out this winter, what the podcast is focusing on, kind of in tandem working with you two, because I think you guys are both really smart dudes in the golf space. And we've just generally been talking a lot about what we think is missing in like the golf content world. Talked about how there's, and this is like fresh off the internet invitational, which I don't know if you guys watch that, but.
No, but I saw some of the aftermath.
Yeah, the Luke Kwan
stuff
all that
I
everyone's talking
heard
something
about. I don't even know.
The dude slept in him. Like, I don't know. It felt like it was
one
of those
clickbait. People that mad?
I think it was more for like the, you know, the clickbait and the views,
sure.
I guess. And it like became a storyline because without that, I don't know if people would have, as many people would have looked at. You know, they like controversy, right? They like
kind of
that
have
type
have
of stuff.
They played for some pretty serious money though, right?
Yeah, I think it was like a $1.7 million was the total prize pool. That
it was like $1 million for first place though, right?
Yeah.
For the team.
Yeah, and who, I think it was Berkshire and there's a little girl that won. But
if someone on my team doesn't show up,
I'd be mad.
I would be pissed.
Yeah,
and he's like actually like is it,
and he's probably the best player.
So was he
there.
Was he ex Corn Ferry, right? Or he's played professional before?
He played at Oklahoma, I know that, and was like a nice college player. And then I don't know what he did as a professional, like when he turned pro. I don't know what his story is exactly. He's definitely a little younger.
I don't know. I just saw some sort of thing about his coach from Oklahoma saying he had like maturity issues and all that after this all came out. I did see that.
And had a sleeping problem.
Yeah.
Like in college, it was a thing.
Like he slept through
like he actually has a sleeping problem.
Yeah. He just sleeps too long.
Oh. Well.
which is a problem.
It happens. But we're fresh off like the Internet Invitational. And, you know, over the past few months, we've all just talked about like, man, it feels like there's something kind of missing in the golf content world, which is there's a lot of stuff on, you know, maybe like Breaking 80. There's a lot of stuff just, you know, the Bob Does Sports stuff. Those guys are like really funny and it's like great entertainment value. But it feels like there's not a lot of content. And, you know, this was kind of the preface of when I started the podcast with Andy. And like for like the scratch golfer, maybe like the wannabe tournament golfer, which is a lot of what you guys are, you know, coaching and preparing and want to like, you know, have people come and see you for, which is like, hey, I've played at a really elite level. I know what it takes. This goes beyond just like how to get a quick fix that you see online, right? Mm-hmm. And structuring content around that. And so want to talk a little bit, and I don't know, Andrew, we can start with you because you've done a lot of work at the Combine this offseason. A lot of listeners have gone over there talking about like the content that we want to put out and how it's structured and how it's maybe different from, you know, what most people see online today, which is like, oh, stop hitting the ball right, do this. And it's like, okay, well, it's more than just, you know,
yeah,
having a stronger left wrist, right? Like there's a lot that goes into like swing and equipment and how to like practice and all those types of things. So that's maybe a good place to start, which is like one, what you're doing, and two, kind of where you see, you know, yourself putting content out and what it's going to, you know, result in.
Yeah. So I think I moved back to Minnesota in March and I quit playing full time in the fall of 24 and came here with the intent of teaching and being able to take experience that I had playing and whether it was college or professional, and being able to kind of share that with, you know, young students, whether you're in high school or college or even, you know, again, another like aspiring tournament player. Hey, I want to go win my club championship, or I want to compete at a state level, even if you're 35 or 40. And I wanted to spend time being able to take all the experience that I had and kind of package that together for people. And there's a lot of technique in there, but there's also a whole different element to playing tournament golf that I think is missed a lot of times. And it can be hard to find some of that information. And you kind of learn it along the way. But if you have a mentor or someone that can help you, and you can really accelerate that learning process and start playing some more quality tournament golf, and maybe it's even something simple like understanding how to practice and how do I prepare for something and what does this look like? Or even if I'm talking to someone that's just turned pro, like, hey, this is kind of what I did when I was traveling. This is a way to make things easier for you when you're on the road. Like there's all these different elements to playing your best golf that is more than just, oh, I'm hitting it a little bit better because I went and saw this coach. Like it's a pretty holistic view. And so I put together kind of an idea in my head of what I wanted to do. And then now, I guess starting in June, I started kind of building out this teaching studio for myself. And so we've affectionately named it the Combine because there was an old farming combine that was left on the property. And so I've got like a teaching studio downstairs, and then upstairs we can do club building and fitting and kind of take care of everything all in one place. And I wanted to have a place that was, I guess, my own, and a place where people could come to and spend time and ask questions and get better.
I also think of it like the NFL Combine. You know, like you go there and you do a bunch of like different drills and speed stuff, and like people are, you know, getting ready to go get drafted. It's like, yeah, you go to the Combine. You're doing a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah. We also think if it's a harvesting combine, I just say that we're going to harvest talent.
Yeah. And then you're going to, because you have the indoor studio, and if I remember right, you're also doing like an outdoor, like kind of, like how big is it going to be out there? Like what's the longest shot you'll be able to hit into your little like chipping and pitching green?
So I don't want to oversell anything because...
Under promise, over deliver in this instance.
But sure. I've got quite a bit of land, and I think that you should be able to comfortably hit to about 200 yards. Oh, in my head, I'd like to do...
200 yards.
Have like multiple greens and different playing areas. I have a big vision for it. I think it'll be really cool. But a really cool place to be able to go spend time and obviously be able to hit balls indoors. But then on a day like today in November, when course is just closed most places and it's going to be 55 out, like we can still go get some work in outside. And then obviously early spring and in the summer, I mean, pretty much anytime. But yeah. I wanted to build something that was very like thoughtful. So there's certain things that I think are really important or different aspects of the game that I wanted to be able to focus on with people. And not every golf club has an awesome short game area that I can kind of introduce all the stuff that I would want to talk about or go practice, right, with somebody. And so I wanted to put together something that I would love and that I think would help me get better. And then if I can take that and allow other people to use it and teach them there, I think that'll be awesome.
Yeah. And Will, you're out at Empower. We've actually talked about like short game areas. How good is Highlands?
Yeah. Highlands sneaky, right? Dude,
like I haven't seen Will for, I don't know how long now, but this summer, like he lives over in St. Paul. And so like make him drive out to Windsong where I am every single time for something that's just like not very nice. Mm-hmm. And so like, dude, I'll come out your way. Like, where should we go? He's like, dude, go check out Highland. Yeah. The Highland short game area, like for free, by the way. I mean, yeah. You don't have to buy. I just can bring my own like thing of balls. It's like actually pretty nice.
Yeah, you can hit up to like 60 yards.
Yeah, like a solid 60-yard shot, like a pretty big green, and it's pretty sweet there.
Yeah.
But so you coach Carson, which we'll talk about in our off-season episode next, mm-hmm. but for you coaching out at Empower, coach guys like Carson is probably like your biggest guy right now. Everybody in Minnesota knows because he's doing so well.
Yep.
What's the stuff that you're kind of thinking about right now?
For me right now, I mean, kind of going into the content thing, that was really exciting for me because October, November are always a little bit of a lull period. Kids go back, they're at college before they come home for Christmas break, and courses are closing, so people shut down for a little bit, you know, before the holidays. So, yeah, I've always wanted to do the content stuff. I feel like it's only scratched the surface, and I feel like I have a strong belief, and I know Andrew does as well, of how to approach that. You know, kind of generalizing things more, talking about everything and trying to understand it all. I know we've talked a little bit about, like, the chipping nowadays with steep, you know, shallow, all those different theories, and I think everything with the content goes so far in one direction. And they missed the boat on explaining actually the details around all of them, the pros and cons, and just like, let's have an actual intelligent discussion about all of this. And, you know, along that way, we can all develop our own beliefs of what works. And, so for me that's a big focus right now is like with you guys trying to understand, the content out there, how we can provide more of a general understanding for all of it. And I think of it as more of like an open discussion, right? Like if things come up or people ask questions, it's like, I want that because I want to entertain all of those concepts, right? Like talking about why I believe in this and why I don't, but even if I don't believe in it, still having the conversation of like why it can work.
Yeah. That's the hardest part is, you know, I'll call it like, I'm, you know, for you guys, I'm probably like your ideal type of client, right? Like somebody trying to get better, like member to club, like willing to put in the practice and effort. But mm-hmm. the hard part is, you know, for people like me before I like solely started working with Will, like you're taking in content from online, you're seeing different swing coaches mm-hmm. and do all this stuff. And you realize like all the messaging is it's mixed, but it's also the same. Like people are trying to get you to do the same concepts. But I think when people find a good coach or somebody that they like, it's because of the way that that coach explained something. Mm-hmm. And I think you guys have both probably met, you know, Luke Elfner and have you met Luke?
Yeah.
I remember he told me in a lesson once, he's like, honestly, it feels like my job a lot of the times is like to open these doors of concepts and see like which one your brain
absolutely
like, sticks to, right? Yeah. Because like a lot of coaches, they're trying to get you to feel the same stuff, but it's just like what actually registers in your brain. So like when mm-hmm. you go to the, what I would consider more open forum or open discussion stuff on concepts, I feel like that's what it is. Like you're talking with your student, you're talking to an audience, and you're trying to get them to understand the concept in the way that works in their brain. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when I'm seeing all this content online, like some people might resonate with like, you know, the Rick Shields guy, cause he just explains mm-hmm. things a certain way. And some people like, you know, Joe Mayo, cause like, oh yeah, that concept makes sense. And other people like short game stuff, cause you know, that mm-hmm. makes sense to them. And so it's like, that seems to be the, in my opinion, the really hard part is, for sure. you know, adhering to the masses when it comes to content, or even just like when you get a new student, figuring out what works in their brain. And I feel like for you guys, it's gotta be the hardest part of your job.
I mean, I think with the content part too, is like people that are making it, I don't know the origin of when they started or how they did. But sometimes you have to wonder too, is like if a hot topic takes off and it works, do they feel obligated to like stay in that? Because it's like, oh, that is getting me more views, which makes sense, right? Like if you just understand business or anything, like it
makes sense. Joe Mayo's a good example, right?
Right. Where like, I think when I watch all that stuff, I always have questions of like, okay, if it was like you were completely vulnerable and I got to ask you anything, right? Like, do you have other opinions as well on other things that you're like not gonna say because you've gone down a road that is successful?
Yeah.
Where like my thing about the open discussion is I want to be able to like have all of those, right? Not just like this one thing works. Let's just like run with that. Like I think we're trying to create something that's like, it can adjust all over the place. And like, honestly, some content won't resonate with you. And like, that's fine, right? I think that's how I look at it is like, okay, but then someone else might on this one, like that might make a lot of sense. And we just keep having these conversations. And if the listeners or people watching are bringing good questions, that's the best content in my opinion, because now you're just being a platform for people to ask the questions that when I watch content, I do have questions, but I can't ask it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I can't I want to challenge not their thinking, but just like, I want to hear another side of this too.
Yeah. Of how they got there.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just like, even like, okay, let's say Joe Mayo and Short Game Chef, they seem like they have some sort of like, they're so opposite in the way they're thinking. And I'm like, there's just no way though, like this whole thing is just like right and wrong. And like, I just don't believe Joe Mayo can listen to Short Game Chef and be like, that's just wrong.
Yeah. And vice versa.
And vice versa. Right. But it kind of gets portrayed that way. And it's like, if you know anything about golf or have any sort of understanding of what happens in a golf shot is like, there's a lot of different ways. And I just don't think you can be like, no.
Or when you talk to different, like it's actually hilarious to me. They'll both post stuff about like how good Jason Day is at chipping. It's like, they both agree. Jason Day is awesome. Like a phenomenal chipper. And it's like, okay, so you guys both agree that like this is an awesome technique. Jason Day is awesome, right? But your philosophies might be different. And again, it goes back to my logic of like, it's really just the way you're explaining something might be different. Mm-hmm. And like stuff with Short Game resonates for some people and stuff with Joe Mayo resonates for other people. And then the reality is like, I would assume, Andrew, if you talk to any pro out there, they go, you got to be able to hit like both shots because you're playing all around the country in different grasses.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this to you the other day, but, you know, there's not one technique for every shot, but every shot requires a technique. And so if you sit and watch any of these, like, and it doesn't even matter if it's Short Game. I mean, in this example, it would be Short Game, is when you're around the green or hitting any of these chips and pitches, like, it's pretty dynamic. It changes every time. You're not hitting the same shot over and over again. When you watch these videos, Joe Mayo is like setting you up off of mud greenside. There is one option to hit that shot. Now you could do a couple other things, but like, yeah, what he's teaching and what he's showing in that video is probably fairly optimal for that situation. If we're hitting a flop shot over a bunker and I'm short-sighted, I'm probably not going that direction. But then if I go watch a Short Game Chef video about something, whatever he's teaching, like it's going to make more sense to do that. And so I think it's just having understanding that, okay, when I watch this, this is whole video is built up to make me believe that this is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And then this other video is presented in a way that makes me believe this is the right thing to do. So then when I leave, I go, wow, this must be the secret sauce. This is what I need. And I don't think it's applicable everywhere. Same thing with like, you know, any instructional stuff. You might go and sit there at home and watch a YouTube video and say, oh, I just watched whoever it could be. I saw it the other day. They had like Josh Allen on TPI, right? Mm-hmm. So let's just say Josh Allen's doing something and they're saying, oh, you should do this or think about this or this is what he's doing in his swing. Oh, maybe I do that. And then you can't just like take this stuff and run because, oh, that concept or idea or feel or whatever that they're using to help him not hit a certain shot might not be applicable to you, but in that situation it worked and you go, oh, this is something that I should really be focusing on. And then all of a sudden you kind of just constantly are like bouncing around, trying different things and experimenting with different stuff.
And I feel like that's kind of like a perfect point of what we're trying to do with content is we're trying to actually get people to not like bounce around so much and get like lost thinking something's good when it's just like actually irrelevant for you personally. The information's not irrelevant, but for the person listening, watching, it's like, just because it makes sense doesn't mean it's correct for you. It could actually be a massive waste of time.
Yeah, which is like I've come to realize in my swing, right? Like I don't know how many times I've sent you my video of like when I was playing really good golf call like 2 years ago. And like you look at that swing on video compared to my swing now, it looks terrible.
Yuck.
I mean, like it actually looks terrible. Like, I'm like, how did I play such good golf there? And like you look mm-hmm. at the swing now and it's like, wow, that actually like looks kind of decent, but I'm not scoring well. And it just all goes back to like different matchups and to your point, like practicing certain things that might actually be like wrong patterns, but you're just making it work because you've got this kind of mm-hmm. special thing. And it's like, it feels like the pros do that just at a very elite level, but like 80% of all their swings are very, you know, like they're all doing very similar things in the right way. And then, you know, mm-hmm. Scotty might have his thing that he does with his feet or whatever for those that last like 20%. And so I think like when it comes to the content that we're, you know, aiming to put out, a lot of it goes back to kind of free form conversation, which is what this podcast has always been. But like the, from a content perspective, like putting out these ideas and concepts and talking about it, and then also kind of figuring out like, hey, this kind of works, you know, here, this doesn't work here. Like, oh, if you have this matchup and you're, you know, more of a steep player versus shallow player, like you're going to want to do this versus this. Mm-hmm. And then actually giving those concepts for people to kind of take in. And then, you know, again, with all the different doors, like, oh, I'm this door. Like I need to focus on this. Cause that's the problem when you go out and find content, it's adhering 100%. To like a specific type of player that may not be you whatsoever.
Right.
And then you go and practice it, you grind it, maybe it's good or maybe it's terrible. And then it just ruins like, you know, mm-hmm. the last week or two that you put in of really good work.
Absolutely. 100%. You nailed it.
Yeah. That's actually pretty good. I nailed that, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's solid. Sure. So I'm excited to put the content out. We'll have, I think when we did like our content calendar, just for like, you know, listeners taking all this in, there'll be some shorter YouTube videos, call them like, you know, 10 to 15 minute. Think of it as like an excerpt of a lesson, you know, like when you're like for me specifically and you will, like when we have an hour long lesson, there's a lot of like really good, maybe 5 to 10 minute clips in those that we can pull out, put out there for people to like consume, and then talk about those concepts in like really short form videos on Instagram. And then people can go find them on YouTube or wherever. Mm-hmm. And we'll also start to do stuff with equipment. We got a deal with Second Swing coming, which will be great to be able to, you know, test some new equipment, go in the bays there and like see how the numbers work inside. And Andrew, we've talked about like, okay, in the off season, like, yeah, things look really good inside, but then you get outside, it's completely different. You know, how do you manage those things and those types of expectations? So I think the content going into the winter is going to be great. I'm excited to work with you guys because you guys are both super knowledgeable, and I think it's really helpful for people to hear from, you know, people who played at a high level and also coach people at a high level. So I'm excited to bring that content to the audience and appreciate you guys for doing it.
Oh, likewise.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Absolutely.